Chapter 9. Owen. I raced to catch up to Zara, meeting her just outside the audience chamber. "Zara," I called breathlessly, prompting her to turn, "can I talk with you a moment?" She nods, and together we make our way down one of the side halls, finding a small private alcove. I open my mouth to speak, but she holds up a hand, cutting me off. "Don't try to talk me out of going to the wastes," she says. "I have to go. It's the only chance we have of pulling ourselves out of this mess."
"That's not what this is about," I reply. "I know that you have to go. And I'm going with you."
She frowns. "Owen, I appreciate your concern, but your place is here. The city will need all the defenders it can get."
"My place is by your side," I counter, taking a step closer to her. "And you'll not talk me out of it. I'm with you to the end, Zara. If you went to the 11 hells themselves, I'd follow you. Besides, you'll need a guide, somebody who knows the wilderness."
She stares at me for a long moment, her frown deepening.
"It'll be dangerous, Owen. Creating an artifice of this size is risky. All the mages who created the Heart of Light were consumed by their own magic." "It won't be any more dangerous than staying here," I reply, taking her hand. "The countryside is overrun with demons, remember? You'll need someone to watch your back while you save the world. There's no one else I trust to protect you."
Her frown softens, and for an instant she looks like she might protest. But she kisses me instead, her diminutive figure melding with mine.
"Honestly," she whispers, her breath tickling my ear, "there's no one else I'd trust to keep me safe."
A pleasant shiver runs down my back, and I feel the sudden urge to return the kiss with gusto, to pull her close and never let go.
"Not the time or the place," I think. "Keep your bloody hands to yourself, Owen."
Ears burning, I give her a small smile.
"All right, then. It's settled. We go back to the wastes together. You can't get rid of me that easily, Magus."
She leans in again, her dark eyes boring into me, when footsteps echo in the hall adjacent to our alcove. Breaking away, she blushes and tucks a stray lock of hair behind her ear as a pair of young mages walks past, one of them giving me a wink and a sly smile. Zara clears her throat.
"I need to go to the ruins of the Pillar of Radiance," she says, changing the subject. "The great library was buried when it collapsed, and I plan on helping with the excavation. There is knowledge there that may be critical to our mission."
"Ever the scholar," I say, still wistful over the kiss I want to share with her.
She shrugs.
"Somebody has to be, especially with you and Talon around." "See you later tonight?"
I grin.
"I'd love to."
"Perfect."
She gives me a quick peck on the cheek.
"See you then, Owen."
I watch her disappear down the hall to a wing of the academy I've never been to. My hand strays to my pocket, to the small bit of wood I started whittling back in the Emberwood.
It's starting to take shape now. I've taken to working on it every night since returning from the wastes. Part of me wonders if I'll ever find the courage to use it for its intended purpose.
"Probably won't have a chance," I mutter, turning to walk in the opposite direction.
"Lovesick fool."
I retrace my steps to the main entrance, taking the winding stone stairs to the main floor. A pair of Nightingale guards are waiting for me, their black cloaks blending in with the dimly lit corridor.
"Protector's looking for you," one of them says. "He's in the garden. Says it's important."
"Protector," I think, stopping in my tracks. "Not sure I'll ever get used to that."
"Where can I find this garden?" I ask. The other guard points. "Right that way, at the end of the hall."
"All right," I reply. "Thanks." The guards tail me as I head to a pair of windowless doors, their footsteps echoing loudly in pursuit.
"They're only doing their job," I remind myself, bristling with mild annoyance. "At least they're not asking me to disarm."
The garden is located in an intersection between several old academy buildings. It has gravel walkways and short hedgerows, with flowerbeds, ivy, and bubbling fountains arrayed in a diamond-like pattern. Even in the depths of winter, the plants appear to be thriving, the enclosure a spot of beauty in an otherwise grim city. Elias sits on a bench in the middle, staring thoughtfully at a statue overgrown with lichen. His back is straight as a spear, his hands resting on his knees as he examines the marble figure in silence. Its smooth surface is worn from the elements and discolored by the passage of time. The statue appears to be the depiction of a knight, an ancient warrior leaning heavily on a sword, driven point first into the ground, his face a mask of sorrow. I quietly sit beside Elias on the bench, noting the bronze plate fastened to a stone at the foot of the statue.
Lucadar? I ask softly. Lord Commander of the Legion of Light?
The very same, Elias replies, his gray eyes still fixed upon the marble warrior.
I frown. I'd have thought the Conclave would have a mage here instead of a knight. This is their academy, after all.
Lucadar is as much a part of the Conclave as any mage, he says. Without him, Tarsinium wouldn't exist. He and the Legion sacrificed their lives to fight off the R'hllar, giving the mages the time they needed to create the Ark of Radiance.
He pauses, as if considering something, then adds,
In some ways, we're a lot like they were, fighting against all odds.
I eye him curiously. He seems different now, more reflective. These last months have changed him. He's no longer the mere ranger I once knew.
The silence stretches on, and Elias turns away from the statue, meeting my gaze.
Deep down, I knew that you'd survive, Owen, he remarks, the corner of his mouth forming a half-smile. Even the wastes were no match for your ranger skills, it seems.
I had a good teacher, I reply, shrugging. He chuckles softly.
Even the best teachers can only share what they know. Ultimately, it's up to the student to learn and apply that knowledge.
He reaches over and grips my shoulder like a proud father.
Regardless, I'm glad that you and Zara are back. We'll need you in the coming days.
It's good to be back, I reply simply, touched by his uncharacteristic affection. He clears his throat, suddenly awkward, and removes his hand.
I have something for you.
He produces something from the folds of his cloak.
Here.
When he reveals what he has hidden, my breath catches in my throat. My hatchet! I exclaim, accepting the weapon eagerly. 11 hells, where did you find it?
It was on one of Æthelgar's guards in the palace, he explains. I recognized it immediately. There's none other like it in the kingdom.
I run my fingers along the length of it, feeling its familiar weight in my hands. The worn handle, made from dusky polished oak, feels smooth to the touch, the leather binding taut and well-oiled. Both sides of its blade are carved with images of wind-blown leaves, and the back is studded with a short spike, sharpened to a deadly point. This was my father's weapon, and as I hold it, a wave of emotion washes over me.
Thank you, Elias, I say, blinking furiously against sudden tears. I thought I'd lost it forever.
He nods emphatically.
Don't mention it.
I take a deep breath and stand, removing the manticore quill from my belt loop and sliding it into a sleeve in my boot. It's been a fair enough dagger, but it pales in comparison to my father's hatchet. Giving the weapon one final appreciative look, I slip it into its customary place on my belt and sit back, feeling whole.
You'll need that, you know, Elias says after a moment. From what I hear, the wastes are a dangerous place.
I give him a questioning look. His lips tug into another smile.
I know that you're going with her.
I open my mouth to reply, then shake my head, exhaling a small laugh. Nothing gets past you, does it?
A blind man could see that you love her, lad, he replies. I knew the minute she volunteered that you'd go with her.
But you're not going to try to keep me here?
He grunts. Frankly, I don't think there's anything I can do to stop you, short of locking you in prison, and that wouldn't accomplish anything except maybe stoke the wrath of Miss Dennell. She'd burn me and half my army to ashes just to get you out.
I snort, but I can't help but think there's some truth to his words.
All our hopes rest on her shoulders now, Elias continues, looking back up at the statue of Lucadar. She'll need you there by her side, protecting her, helping her accomplish what the mages have set out to do.
I follow his gaze, examining the ancient knight's solemn face, his cold, unblinking marble eyes. 1,000 years ago, the Legion of Light stood against the unstoppable demon hordes. They died far from their homes, heroes, but dead all the same. Elias was right. We're a lot like them now. I only hope that our story has a happier ending.
Do you really believe there's hope, Elias? I ask, my heart growing heavy. Do you honestly think that we can win this war with all the might of the R'hllar arrayed against us?
He pauses for a long moment before finally answering, I do. He turns to look at me, his expression as serious as ever.
There's always hope, Owen, even in the darkest of times. People are capable of extraordinary feats of courage even when they know they might die. In all my years as a ranger, I've learned an important lesson. A creature is most dangerous when it's backed into a corner. There's nowhere left for us to run. With the kingdom united, I believe there's a possibility, a narrow chance that we can beat back the R'hllar to protect the future generations from destruction. Even if the world ends for us, isn't that worth fighting for?
I suppose so, I respond, somewhat unconvincingly. He regards me quietly, his face an unreadable mask. Then he grunts, shaking his head.
I'm not one for speeches, he says stiffly, getting to his feet. Our time is short, I fear. I must be getting back to camp soon. There's still so much to do.
I stand as well, my hand resting comfortably on the head of my father's hatchet. Elias turns to leave, then stops, his iron eyes meeting my own.
One last thing, Owen. I put in a petition with the wardens, suggesting you and Talon are ready to become full rangers. The Master Warden agreed with my assessment.
His knowing smile returns, the corners of his eyes crinkling. When they arrive from the Ashwood in a few days, there will be a formal initiation.
Congratulations, Ranger.
He extends his hand. I take it, momentarily dumbfounded.
What?
He chuckles, genuine mirth breaking through his normally stoic demeanor.
You're going to become a full-fledged ranger, Owen. And frankly, I can't think of anyone more deserving.
I hug him, cutting off what he'd been about to say.
Oh, he mutters, patting me awkwardly on the back. You're welcome, lad.
I release him a second later, cheeks reddening with embarrassment but a wide grin splitting my face.
You honor me, Elias. Truly. I'm not sure how I can repay you.
He replaces his hand on my shoulder, giving me a serious look.
You owe me nothing, Owen. I wouldn't have recommended you if I didn't think you were ready. I'm proud of you, and your father would be proud too.
He takes a step back, his typical gruffness returning.
Now, go make yourself useful. Apprentice or ranger, neither gives you leave to idle the day away.
I nod, still smiling.
Yes, sir.
With that, he turns and makes his way toward one of the academy buildings, disappearing inside. It takes me a moment before I finally have a mind to move my feet. As I begin walking out of the gardens, my thoughts turn to my father and how I'm finally able to follow in his footsteps, something that for a time seemed unattainable.